Blog Talk Radio. All right. So,
Where was I at? We know the drill. If I get paid, I will play a song, and we'll be right back in the lesson. All right. I was up early Tuesday or Wednesday morning. I haven't been really doing that well anyway. And, you know, most times been on my mind heavy. And I had been praying, you know, for a word from God. And he gave me one. Gave me several, actually. But on this night, this word from Yah is for the congregation, because Yah wants us to be planted in him. So we're going to go through these scriptures, but he wants us to be planted in him. And if we're, and when we read these scriptures, you'll understand why. And it should give you, bring some joy to you, to your heart, as it did mine. Because, you know, the enemy is busy. And it doesn't matter, you know, who you are. You can come up under attack. And I had been feeling, you know, somewhat of spiritual attack here recently. And, you know, I was praying to the Most High to, you know, to protect me in this thing and to give me a word. And he gave me, you know, a word. So let us go ahead and do our statement of faith. Let me have the ladies to cover their heads. Men, uncover your head. And before we get started here, I want to say welcome to everybody in Pal Talk Land, Blog Talk Land, on the internet in general, wherever you may be listening. We greet you in the Master's name, the only name by where men must be saved, Jesus the Christ or Yeshua HaMashiach. Either one is good with me. All right. Now, our statement of faith. I believe that all scripture is given by the inspiration of Elohim and is profitable for doctrine and for reproof and for correction and for instruction in righteousness, according to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. I believe all holy men must be inspired and directed by the Spirit of Yah, according to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20 through 21. I believe there is one Elohim, according to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. I believe that Yeshua is the manifest Son of Yah, according to Luke chapter 1, verse 35. I believe I am a new covenant child of Yah, according to Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 10. I believe I am of the royal priesthood, according to, well, I just read that, didn't I? I believe I am of the royal priesthood, according to 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. I believe I am chosen and directed by Yah, according to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. I believe I am a child of Yah and of the seed of Abraham, according to Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 through 29. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, according to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. It is my whole duty to fear Yah and keep his commandments, according to Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13. Let us give the Most High a hand clap of praise on his day. Hallelujah, Yah. Hallelujah, Father. We thank you, Father. We glorify you. We lift you up. We magnify your name, Father. We ask that you will come and that you will be with us, Father. Hallelujah. Let it be you that speaks to us and not Brother Miles. Hallelujah. Let Brother Miles decrease and you increase. Father, we thank you for keeping us safe. We thank you for our loved ones, Father. We thank you for your Ruach HaKodesh. We thank you for your word. Sustains us. Hallelujah. We thank you for everything that you have provided to us. Hallelujah, Yah. And we just want to give you all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise in Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Yah. Thank you, Father. Let me, shall I be turned toward the east, that the ladies cover their heads, men uncover your heads, holy hands raised to the Most High Elohim. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your loving kindness and your tender mercy. We thank you for life and help and strength today. We thank you for the opportunity to once again come together and to break bread and to observe your Shabbat, a day of rest that you have ordained that your people should keep perpetually throughout all time. Father, we ask that you would forgive us our sins. We forgive those that have sinned against us. We ask that you lead us not into temptation, but that you deliver us from evil. We ask that you hold not the iniquities of our forefathers against us, for they are all gone by the way of the grave, and we are still yet here, seeking to keep your statutes, your laws, and your commandments in spirit and in truth. you have said that your people Israel have done wickedly. Now we have walked contrary to you, and if you have walked contrary to us, you said, but if we would but turn from our wicked way and repent from our sins and not complain about the punishment that you have placed upon us by scattering us throughout all the nations of the world, that you would once again turn your eyes and your ears toward your people Israel. So, Father, we acknowledge that we have done wickedly, and we are repenting and turning from our wicked ways. And, Father, we would ask, and we would not complain about the punishment that you have placed upon us by scattering us through all the nations of the world. But this will be our testimony. This is what happens to you when you disobey the Most High Elohim. Father, we pray for Israel that is awake, that you might give us a meek and a humble spirit, a spirit of love, for you are love. We pray for Israel that is asleep, that you might unseal them to come and keep your statutes, your laws, and your commandments. Now, Father, as we go to work in the kingdom, we ask that you would smile upon this work, that you would give us favor in all that we do. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name I pray. Amen and amen. All right. Let us go to the book of 1 Kings, the book of 1 Kings, chapter 8, starting in verse 46. If they, Israel, sin against thee, for there is no man that sinneth not, and thou be angry with them and deliver them to the enemy, so that they carry them away captive into the land of the enemy, far or near. Yet if they shall bethink themselves in the land whether they were carried captive, and repent and make supplication unto thee in the land of them that carried them captive, saying, we have sinned, we have done perversely, we have committed wickedness, and so return unto thee with all their heart and with all their soul in the land of their enemies, which led them away captive, and pray unto thee toward their land, which thou gavest unto their fathers, the city which thou chosen, the house which I have built for thy name, then hear thou their prayer and their supplication in heaven, thy dwelling place, and maintain their cause, and forgive thy people that have sinned against thee, and all their transgressions wherein they have transgressed against thee, and give them compassion before them who carried them captive, that they may have compassion on them. For they be thy people and thine inheritance, which thou broughtest forth out of Egypt from the midst of the furnace of iron, that thine eyes may be open unto the supplication of thy servant and unto the supplication of thy people Israel, to hearken unto them in all that they call for unto thee. For thou didst separate them from among all the people of the earth to be thine inheritance, as thou spake by the hand of Moses thy servant, when thou broughtest our fathers out of Egypt. O Yah, Elohim. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13 and 14. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear Elohim and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For Elohim shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. May the Most High a blessing to the reading, the hearing, the understanding, and more so the doing of his word. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name, amen and amen. All right. I want to remind everybody that Sunday evening is the new moon service for this month, Sunday evening. I will be sending out that email later on today, this evening, with the instructions from the first one. If it's not Passover or anything, then it's just the new moon service. And so we want to have the information so we can follow along. All right. A word from Yah to you and to me. Let us start off with this. As I was laying in bed, and I wasn't asleep at all, and I was troubled, you know, because I really wanted a word from the Most High. And the word that came to me was trees planted by the river of living water. And so God sent me into Jeremiah chapter 17. So let us go to Jeremiah chapter 17, and we're going to start in verse 1. The book of Jeremiah, chapter 17, starting in verse 1. And the word of Yah reads on this likewise. The sin of Judah is written with a pen of iron and with the point of a diamond. It is graven upon the table of their heart and upon the horns of your altars. Whilst their children remember their altars and their groves by the green trees upon the high hills. O my mountain in the field, I will give thy substance and all thy treasures to the spoil, and thy high places for sin throughout all thy borders. Now, when we're first reading this, the Most High is, we know that our people are in trouble. We are doing all kinds of just wickedness as a people. Those that haven't been awakened, they are out there and they are into everything. And so what the Most High is saying here to us as a people, that Judah's sin is written with a pen of iron. That we know what happens to most of our people, especially the men. But this sin is so hard, it's hard like iron. I mean, just like the brother having conducting Passover in a strip club. That is hard. That's hard sin. That's taking with the most something that is hallowed and taking it someplace that's dirty and unclean, and then saying that you are worshiping the Most High, Elohim. So we are just into some of everything, just crazy stuff. Let's continue. And he says in verses 3 and 4, our people, they remember their altars, but their altars are not the altars of the Most High. They are not worshiping him. I don't care whether they are call themselves being in truth, and then they could do something like that. Because that's not a church doing that. That's, you know, Hebrew Israelite camp doing that. But even if they're in the church, they are not worshiping him. They're worshiping false gods. They have altars. You got altars everywhere. You got churches everywhere. And one of the things the Most High told us not to do, he said, don't be making altars to me or setting up and serving me just everywhere. We shouldn't have a church on every corner. We shouldn't have camps all over the place with all these different doctrines. And so he equates it to when they were worshiping on top of, like, worshiping Molech on top of high hills and worshiping Asherah in the valleys with the forest, call them Asherah. Our people were busy doing that kind of stuff. And today, we just feel like we can just worship Yah just anywhere and everywhere according to our own understanding. And he's just supposed to accept it. But he told us not to do these things. So here they are up on top of high hills and mountains. And Yah said that for them doing it, he would destroy them, our forefathers. So what do we think he's going to do to our people if we're not worshiping him upright? If we're not worshiping him as he wants to be worshiped? Let's continue. So verse 3, O my mountain in the field, I will give thy substance and all thy treasures to the spoil and thy high places for sin throughout all thy borders. And thou, even thou, shalt discontinue from thine inheritance that I gave thee. And I will cause thee to serve thine enemies in a land which thou knowest not. For you have kindled a fire in my anger which shall burn forever. Now, this is a reiteration of where we're already at as a people. Because of what our forefathers did, we got scattered. Okay, and we are in all these different nations. And we're still doing wickedness. Let's continue. God says that this is from what our forefathers did, that was going to burn forever. Well, unless he brings us out of it, we will suffer this way until his return. But there's hope in these verses we're going to read. Thus saith Yah, cursed be the man that trusteth in man and maketh flesh his arm and whose heart depart from Yah. Now, everything that's coming and that's already been here, this pandemic is a plague. And as I said from the very beginning, this plague was designed to turn men to Yah, that they would repent. Who was it first start killing off? The Hebrews and the elderly among us. And it was meant to make us repent. But then now they come out with a shot that they haven't tested. And people are running to get this shot. And they're putting their trust in man. When this plague is designed to make people turn, they're putting their trust in mankind. Let's continue. For he shall be like the heart. He shall be like the heat in the desert and shall not see when good cometh, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land, and not inhabit it. So if we haven't learned that we are to be trusting 100% in Yah, whatever his will be for us, then we are putting our trust elsewhere. And he said, cursed is that man that does that. So I was like, wow, okay, Elohim. Now, here is where he wants us to, for us. Blessed is the man that trusteth in Yah, and whose hope Yah is. If your faith and your trust is in Yah Elohim, that's all you need. He's the one that's going to keep you safe. Let's listen. Now, I want you to read with me well these next verses, because this is the word that he actually gave to me concerning us and those that are faithful. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters that spreadeth out her roots by the river and shall not see when he comes. When things get tough and the world starts panicking, if you are planted in Yah, because Yah is that river, Yah is that living water, if you are planted in him, he says, when the heat comes, you're not going to feel it. If our trust is in him, we don't have to worry about it. He will sustain us. He will keep us. We can go about doing what the Father's will is, because he says, you are planted in me. You are like that tree planted by the river. You always have a supply of water. And no matter how hot it gets, you just drink more water. Just drink more of him. And nothing will touch us. Not the plague. Not man, nothing. As long as we're in his will and we are planted in him. Hallelujah. Thank you, Yah. Let's continue. Verse 8 again. For he shall be as a tree planted by waters that spreadeth out her roots by the river and shall not see when he comes. But her leaf shall be green and shall not be careful in the year of drought. Neither shall cease from yielding fruit. This is our time to bear fruit, because things are going to start getting harder and people are going to need some place to come. They're going to need some place to meet people who Yah is sustaining. So all we got to do is do what? be planted in him. Don't have to worry about it. Our trust and our faith is in him. Verse 9, the heart is a deceitful thing. It's deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his way and according to the fruit of his doing. As the partridge sitteth on eggs and hatches them not, so he that getteth riches and not by right shall leave them in the midst of his days, and at his end shall be a fool. Now, we definitely don't want to be seeking no what filthy lucre. We need money to do what Yah wants us to do, but we want it to come the right way. We don't want to be trying to trick people. We don't want to be trying to apply for things that we're not telling the truth about, so forth and so on. Everything has to be on the up and up. Or Yah says, in the end, we'll have the money, but we won't be able to do anything with it. Because he'll kill the organization. He'll kill the man who is doing it. He'll kill the woman that's doing it. Because then in the end, you'll look like a fool. So he's telling us exactly what we are to do. We are to trust in him. He is going to provide and make a way. And as long as we stay focused on him, we don't have to worry about anything. Yah says we can't fool him because he searches the heart. He knows what's in our heart. Verse 12. A glorious high throne from the beginning is the place of our sanctuary. Oh, Yah, the hope of Israel. All that forsake thee shall be ashamed, and they that depart from me shall be written in the earth. Name is going to be written in heaven. It's going to be written where? In the earth, because they have forsaken Yah, the fountain of living water. He's that living water. He's that river that the tree is supposed to be planted by. We are those trees that are supposed to be planted by the river of living water. Heal me, O Yah, and I shall be healed. Save me, and I shall be saved. For thou art my praise. Behold, they say unto me, where is the word of Yah? Let it come now. As for me, I have not hastened from being a pastor to follow thee. Neither have I desired the woeful day. Thou knowest that which came out of my lips was right before thee. Now, when Yah had me to read that, and like I said, I'm always looking. I want to be pleasing to the Father. And when he had me to read those words and to apply them to myself and to the congregation, my soul did soar and does soar. Because Yah is confirming and reaffirming that we are doing the right thing, that I am teaching the right thing, and that I have not departed from him and from his way. And so we are on solid ground. All of us have to make sure that we're planted by that river. Because when things get tough, you know, I can't save you and you can't save me. So it's an individual thing. And I don't want to see any of us struggling or having fear or walking contrary because we're in doubt. Because we don't know where we're planted at. We don't know where we're rooted at. We don't know who's sustaining us. It is Yah Elohim, the Most High, creator of heaven and earth. He's the one sustaining us. He's the one that's going to nourish us. He's the one that's going to keep us. He's the one that's going to go before us. just got to stay to his word. Awesome Elohim we serve. And I'm so thankful that he is still speaking to us. Be not a terror unto me. Thou art my hope in the day of evil. So I want all of you who are listening, from verse 13 to verse 17, I want you to highlight it, and I want you to keep it close to you. This is the word of Yah, word from Yah to you and to me. He wants us to know these other things because he don't want us going to the right or to the left. He wants to know what's going to happen to those that forsake him. He wants to know what happens to those who seek to get rich for riches' sake, that they might consume it upon themselves and not for the kingdom. We belong to him. And we want to do as he says to do, when he says to do it, and how he says to do it. Let's continue. Now, there are going to be people who come against us, but this is what Yah has already said concerning them. Let them be confounded that persecute me, but let not me be confounded. Let them be dismayed, but let not me be dismayed. Bring upon them the day of evil, and destroy them with double destruction. Thus saith Yah unto me, go and stand in the gate of the children of the people, whereby the kings of Judah come in, and by which they go out, and in all the gates of Jerusalem, and say unto them, hear the word of Yah, you kings of Judah, and all Judea. Now, we know we're not in the city, but what Yah is telling us to do is to proclaim this word and proclaim it to Judah, because our people we're sick. And when they hear the truth, the only thing that they can do is either accept it or reject it. That's their choice, but they will be without excuse to he that has an ear, let him hear. And when they hear the truth of Yah, if it is meant for them to hear it, then they will come and they will obey. Other than that, trust me, they're going to be against it. And the things that I say, that I teach, that Yah has been saying, a lot of people cannot get with that. They run from it. Too much, too much. They run from it. But the Elohim we serve, we know. He called us to fear him and to worship him with fear and trembling and to do what he says to do and to honor him. Don't just be casual with him. Let's continue. So, thus saith, verse 21, thus saith Yah, take heed to yourself and bear no burden on the Sabbath day, nor bring it in by the gates of Jerusalem. Now, he really wants us to honor his Shabbat. And I prayed to him that he would make this a way that for all of us, that we would be able to honor this every week, and that he would make a way that we were able to honor it. It is he that influences me. It is he that gives favor. So even if I have to quit Amazon, that's what it has to be. That's what it has to be. Yah will make a way. But he wants us to honor him in his Sabbath. Let's continue. Neither carry forth a burden out of your house on the Sabbath day, neither do ye any work, but hallow ye the Sabbath day as I commanded your fathers. But they obeyed not, neither inclined their ears, but made their neck stiff, that they might not hear nor receive instruction. And it shall come to pass, if you diligently hearken unto me, saith Yah, to bring in no burden through the gates of the city on the Sabbath, but hallow the Sabbath day to do work, to do no work therein, then shall there enter into thy gates of thy city gates and princes sitting upon the thrones of David, riding in chariots on horses, they and their princes and the men of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and this city shall remain forever. Now, when we are taken back into Jerusalem, that is mandatory. Because the Most High says, if you just honor me on the day that I told you to honor me, in the way that I told you to honor me. So he's going to work some things out for us. And I pray that it's soon. Yah is going to do great things through us. We just have to be obedient. We have to be ready. We have to be willing. Let's continue. Thus, verse 26 and 27. And they shall come from the cities of Judah and from the places about Jerusalem and from the land of Benjamin and from the plain and from the mountain and from the south, bringing burnt offerings and sacrifice and bringing sacrifices of praise unto the house of Yah. But if you will not hearken unto me to hallow the Sabbath and not to bear a burden, even entering into the gates of Jerusalem on the Sabbath day, then will I kindle a fire in the gates thereof, and it shall devour the places of Jerusalem, and it shall not be quenched. Now, that goes for even us in our captivity. We want the blessings of God. We want to honor him. We want to be obedient. He says, he wants us to be planted in him. He is that river of living water. He is the one that will sustain us. Doesn't matter whether it's in the cities or in the wilderness. He will make sure that we are provided for and that we're taken care of. We are not to fear what's coming. Have compassion on our people and give them the message. Give them the truth. Don't back down from it. Don't be afraid of their faces. Because Yah has confirmed that we are in the right place and we're doing the right thing. Let us go now to the book of Numbers. The book of Numbers, chapter 24. And when y'all took me here, I was like, what are you trying to say? But then he explained it, showed me. The book of Numbers, chapter 24. Now, this is concerning Balaam. And Balaam was a prophet of the Most High. But one of the things that I saw that Balaam used to do was use enchantment to usher in, you know, the presence of the Most High. But the Most High doesn't want us doing that. And what Balaam does, this is how he wants us to hear from him. Numbers 24, starting in verse 1. And when Balaam saw that it pleased Yah to bless Israel, he went not, as at other times, to seek for enchantment, but he set his face toward the wilderness. Now, this is a Moabite. He is not a Hebrew. He is a Moabite, and Yah used to deal with him. The Moabites were people of color also. They were black. But they did wickedness. Okay, but this, he's been dealing with this man, Balaam. And Balaam used to sort of commune with the Most High through enchantment. But this time he didn't do that. Okay, let's see how he did it. And Balaam lifted up his eyes, and he saw Israel abiding in his tents according to their tribe. And the spirit of Elohim came upon him. This is now in the Old Testament, the Torah. This is how the Most High would come upon people and speak through them. He would come, his spirit would literally come upon them. And he would cause them to say what he wanted said. Today, we are supposed to be what? Filled with him. And so anytime the Most High wants to speak, that's why I said we have to be very careful how we address one another. You never know when you're dealing with the Most High or when you're just dealing with that person. So the spirit of the Most High came upon him. No enchantment. No trying to summon the Most High. He went into a trance while he was awake. Let's read this. Verse 3, and he took up his parable and said, Balaam the son of Beor has said, and the man whose eyes are open has said, and he has said, which heard the words of Yah, the words of Elohim, which saw the vision of the Almighty falling into a trance, but having his eyes open. How goodly are thy tents, O Jacob, and thy tabernacles, O Israel. As the valleys are, they spread forth, as gardens by the riverside, as the trees of lime aloes, which I have planted, and as cedar trees beside the water. He shall pour water out of his bucket, and his seed shall be in many waters, and his king shall be higher than Agag, and his kingdom shall be exalted. Elohim brought him forth out of Egypt. He has, as it were, the strength of a unicorn. He shall eat up the nations, his enemies, and shall break their bones, pierce them through with his arrows. He couched low down as a lion, and as a great lion who stirred him up. Blessed is he that blesses thee, and cursed is he that curses thee. Now, think about this. Because the nations know that if they bless Israel, then Elohim blesses them. But they have been cursing Israel. And because Israel is scattered, and the Most High is now waking us up, then these things are going to reverse for those people who are the remnant. And you got to understand that. It's for the remnant, not for all Israel. Because all Israel, if you go to Zechariah chapter 14, the vast majority of Israel is appointed to the slaughter. That's horrible. But they refuse to wake up. And those that have awakened, who woke angry, and refuse to repent, Most High says that they are appointed as the sheep of the slaughter. That you know, it was hard for me to read that. He says, prepare the flock of the slaughter. And so we want to be part of that remnant. We want to be the ones who are obedient, who are submitted, who are looking for and walking after Elohim. Let's continue. Now, Balaam is blessing Israel, and he's been trying to get Balak. Let me see this right. Balaam is blessing Israel. And Balak, the one that went and got Balaam to curse Israel, he is like getting upset. So let's read this. Verse 10. And Balak's anger was kindled against Balaam, and he smote his hands together, and Balak said unto Balaam, I call thee to curse mine enemy, and behold, thou hast altogether blessed them these three times. Somebody's going to come against us, and they are going to really want us to be destroyed. And they're going to go to somebody and ask them to curse us. But they won't be able to curse us. Yah is not going to allow it. He's going to do the same thing that he did to Balaam. The Spirit of the Most High is going to come over them. And rather than curse us, they are going to bless us. Hallelujah. The Elohim we serve is, he is good. And he is good all by himself. He is God all by himself. So Balak hires Balaam to curse Israel, but the Most High won't allow him to curse Israel. So let me read that verse again. And Balak's anger was kindled against Balaam, and he smote his hands together. And Balak said unto Balaam, I call thee to curse mine enemy, and behold, thou hast altogether blessed them these three times. Therefore now flee thou to thy place. I thought to promote you unto great honor, but lo, Yah has kept thee back from honor. Now, that's something. Balak is telling Balaam, hey, I wanted to promote you. I wanted to make you big time. But he says Yah has kept Balaam from what? From honor. Do you think that, who do you think that Balaam wants to be honored by? Balak or the Most High? Anybody that knows if they're dealing with the Most High, that's a no-brainer. And Balaam said unto Balak, spake I not also to thy messengers, which thou sentest unto me, saying, if Balak would give me his house full of silver and gold, I cannot go beyond the commandment of Yah to do either good or bad of my own mind. But what Yah said, that will I speak. That is a prophet. That's the job of a prophet, to speak what Yah speaks. And this man is trying to get Balak, trying to get Balaam to say something against Israel that Yah has not said. He says, you can give me your whole house full of gold and silver. I ain't going to speak nothing but what God tells me to speak. And so none of us should be saying, thus saith Yah Elohim, if Yah Elohim did not say anything to us. We should be just like Balaam. Now, scratch that, like Balaam. Only speak what Yah has spoken to us. Amen? All right, amen. No matter how much money, no matter how much temptation, no matter how much good it might look, you might think might come out of it, if Yah didn't say it, don't you say it. No matter what they promise you. Verse 14. And now, behold, I go unto my people. Come, therefore, and I will advertise thee what this people shall do to thy people in the latter days. Now, these prophecies, we are in the latter days, and so we need to be looking in here for what's going to happen, because it's not just in that land. And now, behold, I go unto my people. Come, therefore, and I will advertise thee what this people shall do to thy people in the latter days. And he took up his parable and said, Balaam the son of Beor has said, and the man whose eyes are open has, which heard the word of Elohim and knew the knowledge of the Most High, which saw the vision of the Almighty, falling into a trance, but having his eyes open. I shall see him, but not now. I shall behold him, but not now, but not near. There shall come a star out of Jacob, and a scepter shall rise out of Israel, and shall smite the corners of Moab, and destroy all the children of Sheth. And Edom shall be a possession. Seir also shall be possessed for his enemy, and Israel shall do valiantly. Now we know this latter part is the latter day. The first part of this actually happened when Messiah came. But Messiah's got to return. And out of Jacob shall come he that shall have dominion, and shall destroy him that remaineth of the city. And when he looked at Amalek, he took up his parable and said, Amalek was the first of the nation, but his latter end shall be that his perish, he perish forever. Now, I might have to go into the scriptures, and I haven't done it yet, to pull out these people, because they're still in the earth today. Because this is talking about the latter day. And so, you know, a lot of people don't think to go to other prophets to see what the Most High is saying when the Most High is prophesying through, not the major prophet. But Balaam has told him, let me tell you what's going to happen to you in the latter day. He's a prophet of the Most High. He's speaking of Messiah, and he's also speaking of Messiah's second return. And so we want to get a look into the future. We want to look into what's coming up. This is one of the prophets that people rarely look at. Let's continue. Verse 21. And he looked on the Kenites and looked up his parable and said, strong is thy dwelling place, as thou puttest thy nest in a rock. Nevertheless, Kenite shall be wasted until Asher shall carry thee away captive. And he looked up at his parable and said, alas, who shall live when Elohim does this? And ships shall come from the coast of Chittim and shall afflict Asher and shall afflict Eber, and he also shall perish forever. And Balaam rose up and went and returned to his place, and Balak went away. So maybe sometime this week I will look up these people still in the earth, and their end is still yet to come. Some of them perished and were scattered, but they are supposed to perish forever. There's still a reckoning coming. Let's go to the book of John. The book of John. We're going to start in verse 4. The book of John, starting in verse 4. The book of John, chapter 4, starting in verse 1. The book of John, chapter 4, starting in verse 1. When therefore Yah knew how the Pharisees, I said Yah did, here Bible's going to say Yeshua, knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John. Though Jesus or Yeshua baptized not, but his disciples. Now, this verse can be interpreted two ways. The way the Messiah has shown me is Messiah baptized his disciples, and then his disciples baptized everyone else. He didn't baptize anybody after that. He had the laborers. So he baptized them, and then they started baptizing people. And he got the credit for the baptism because he was the head, the leader. Let's continue. Though Yeshua himself baptized not, but his disciples. So, again, as I said, that verse can be interpreted two ways. Verse 3, he left Judea and departed again into Galilee, and he must needs go through Samaria. Now, this is important because none of the brothers who are on this, that Samaritan woman wasn't a Hebrew Israelite. Why did Messiah need to go through Samaria? I must need go through Samaria. I have to go through Samaria. They are missing in not wanting, for whatever the reason, I don't really understand this either, why they have the need for this woman not to be a Hebrew Israelite. I don't understand this. But this doctrine is strong in our people. This Samaritan woman couldn't have been a Hebrew Israelite. So they said she was a Samaritan woman. So I'm going to ask you guys a question. I want you to, you can answer it to yourself. Can you tell me, if I say this, if I say a woman of America, can you tell me what color she is? Can you tell me how she looked? Can you tell me what her ethnicity is? If I just say a woman of America, because this is a melting pot, and there's no way for you to know if it's a white woman, a black woman, an Indian woman, an Ethiopian woman. There's no way for you to know by what I just said. And when it says a woman of Samaria, it's the same thing. Because remember, the Most High transplanted, not the Most High, the king of Assyria transplanted. What he would do is this, and if we can hear this, then we can understand. When the king of Assyria would conquer somebody, he would remove them from their land, most of them. He didn't get everybody. But he would remove them from their land and transplant them into another land. So then they were in a strange place, and it was his way of keeping control over them. So when he came and he conquered the northern kingdom, Israel, he moved most of the people out of the land. But there were some people that escaped him. They didn't get stayed in the land. Let's go get that real quick so y'all don't say Brother Miles just saying stuff. Let's go to the book of 2 Chronicles, chapter 30. And we'll come right back here. The book of 2 Chronicles, chapter 30. And we're just going to read one verse, okay? I'm just going to make my point, and then we're going to just come back to where we were at. The book of 2 Chronicles, chapter 30, we'll hear verse 6. Okay, the northern kingdom has been taken. Samaria used to be the name of the capital of the northern kingdom. So Israel's capital was Samaria. When the Assyrian king took it over, he renamed the whole region Samaria to throw it in their face. I conquered you, and this city, I think he held Israel, the capital, Samaria, in like a siege for either 3 or 9 years. I have to go look it up. But because it took that long, then he renamed the whole region Samaria. Okay? Now, that's how it got renamed. But let's look at verse 6 here. 2 Chronicles chapter 30 and verse 6. Hezekiah is inviting the people from Israel, the northern kingdom, those that escaped, and the people of Judah to the Passover, okay? So the Pope, these are the letters from the king inviting them to the Passover. So the post went with the letters from the king and his princes throughout all Israel and Judah. Now, you might think at this point that Israel is still a nation. But if you read the account, then you understand that Israel is not a nation. The Northern Kingdom is not a nation. The Northern Kingdom has been conquered. But Hezekiah, there's still some people who are left there. So let's read this. So the post went from the letters from the king and his princes throughout all Israel and Judah, according to the commandments of the king, saying, "You children of Israel, turn again unto Yah Elohim of Elohim of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, and he will return unto the remnant of you." What remnant? "That are escaped out of the hands of the kings of Assyria. And be not ye like your fathers and like your brethren, which trespassed against Yah Elohim of your fathers, who therefore gave them up to desolation, as you see." Now we're going to stop there so that you understand that there are some people in the Northern Kingdom who have escaped out of the hands of the kings of Assyria, and they are called the remnant, and the remnant is considered to be Israel. Everybody else who got taken were cut off. They were no longer Israel. And if we were to study this chapter out, then you would find out that our forefathers that were the remnant caused the rest of Israel to be cut off. No longer to be Israel, but to just be Hebrews. Taken captive. But that's another lesson. For right now, we can go back to John because I want you to understand that there are some people left in the land. And this woman of Samaria happens to be I don't want to say one of them. There's like not their ancestors that you passed, but she's of that lineage. Okay, so let's hear her testimony and see what Messiah says to her. Okay, because we need to know this. Verse 4. So now we know that there's a remnant of Israel where? In Samaria. Messiah says he must needs go through Samaria. Who did Messiah come for? He came for the lost sheep of the house of Israel. He knew where they were at. He says, "I must needs go to Samaria." Okay? I have to go there. Now let's see what he does here. This is going back to Jeremiah and that living water. "Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of the ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph." Now Jacob's well was there. Jacob's well was in where? Samaria. "Yeshua, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, as it was about the sixth hour, midday. Then cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water." Can you tell me what this woman, what is her ethnicity? Can you tell me, is she a Hebrew Israelite? Can you tell me if she's a Assyrian? Is she one of the people that was transplanted? Because this is what our people assume all the time, that this woman is somebody that was transplanted, one of the transplants. Okay, and then I've even heard people say, oh, she's just parroting what she was taught. But she's not really the people of the book. When we go into Chronicles, we know that some of our people were left in the land. Let's listen to this woman's testimony. And then over that, let's see what Messiah says to her. Verse 5 again. "Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Yeshua, therefore, being weary with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour or midday. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Yeshua saith unto her, give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away into the city to buy meat. Thus, and then said the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which is a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealing with the Samaritans. Okay? Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of Elohim, and who it is that saith unto thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of me, and he would have given thee living water. Now, remember we read in Jeremiah, the Most High told us that we are to be planted in him. He is that river of living water. Messiah said, I'm going to give you the Ruach HaKodesh. I'm going to give you that living water if you knew who it was that spoke to you. Now, if we understand biblical history, then we know that at this time, the gospel is not being preached to the Gentiles. It's got to be first preached to the house of Israel. And the gospel is not preached to the Gentiles until Acts chapter 10. This is before Acts chapter 10 because Messiah is still here. And he's going to the Samaritans. Why? I must need go there. I have to go here. This is where the lost sheep of the house of Israel are. Our forefathers didn't want to have anything to do with them because the truth of the matter is, the lost sheep were doing everything that the Most High told them not to do. They were worshiping up on high mountains. The Most High said, when you go into the land, tear down those altars in those high places. And when you read about just about all the kings failed to do that. Even when he said that they were a good king, the Most High had one accusation against them. They failed to tear down the high places. Okay, so when we read this woman and what she says, understand that the northern kingdom, the reason that they got scattered was because they were doing all kind of wickedness and they were doing the things that the people in the land were doing. The stuff that they were supposed to be rooting out of the land, they were doing it. Witchcraft, voodoo, sorcery, setting up altars in on top of mountains. So now, let's read what this woman said, because see, if you don't understand that when you, the mountain has no significance, when she says in this mountain, if you don't understand that that's what the Most High said don't do, and that's what Solomon did, that's what just about all the kings did, but a few. They set up altars in the high places. The Most High, I have to take you to one day, show you that this was an accusation that he had against all the kings. So I told you, when you go into the land, tear down all their altars, their ashrams, tear down this false religion. But they didn't do it. Okay, so now let's listen to what this woman says, and listen to what Messiah said. Verse 11, then the woman saith unto him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence or where then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father, Jacob? Now, who does she claim is her ancestor? Jacob. Okay. But no, that can't be true. It is true. And this is the only reason Messiah is having a conversation with her. Because she's a Hebrew Israelite. Let's continue. thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well, and drank thereof of himself, and his children and his cattle? Yeshua answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh the water that I will give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. The woman said unto him, sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come here to draw. So give me that water so I don't have to come in and draw water anymore, if I ain't going to thirst no more. Yeshua said unto her, go and call thy husband and come here. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Yeshua said unto her, thou hast well said, I have no husband. For thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband, in that thou saidest thou truly. The woman said unto him, sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worship in this mountain. This was one of the things that they were not supposed to do. Our fathers worshiped in this mountain. Remember Simon the sorcerer from the book of Acts chapter 8, who bewitched the people and they thought he was some great thing? This is what the people of Samaria were known for. This is what our forefathers who got scattered from the northern kingdom, this is what they were doing, all kind of wickedness. Remember when Jeroboam, remember when the Most High said, I'm going to take the kingdom from Solomon and take it from Solomon's son? He gave him 10 tribes, and then he put those calves, created those two altars with worshiping the calf's head. They were doing all kind of wickedness. And when the Most High caused the king of Assyria to come and take them, he caused a remnant to escape, but that remnant chose to go back into Israel and continue living the same way. They came to the Passover, but they kept doing the same things they were doing. They were still doing sorcery. They were still worshiping the altars up in the mountain, worshiping on the altars up in the mountain, and this woman is still doing it. Now, she tells you that her father, it wasn't Jacob, Isaac, and Abraham, but it was the descendants of them who are also her descendants and her relatives. They were doing it. So when she speaks to Messiah, are you greater than our father Jacob? He's claiming to be a Hebrew Israelite. And when she is, let me get back here. When she is talking about, well, let's just read. Verse 13. No, we are at verse 17. And we read that already. Verse 19, my bad. The woman says unto sir, I perceive thou art a prophet. Our fathers worship in this mountain. And you say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Now, this is the sin of her forefathers. This is the sin of the northern kingdom. This is why they got taken out of the land. Worshiping on top of the mountain, worshiping calves. Jeroboam built two altars, one in Dan, and I forget the other city. I believe it was in Samaria. But I could be wrong on that. Don't quote me on that. But some of them escaped and were there, and she is one of their descendants. So Messiah is talking to her because she is Israel. Now, let's prove that she's Israel by what Messiah says to her. Verse 20 again. Our fathers worshiped in this mountain, and you say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Yeshua said unto her, woman, believe me, the hour cometh, when you shall neither in this mountain nor at Jerusalem worship the Father. I'm going to get rid of the temple, and I'm going to get rid of that false mountain that you worship in. You worship, you know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers of the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh us to worship him. Most High wants us to worship him in what? Spirit and in truth. Elohim is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. The woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he comes, he will tell us all things. Yeshua said unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. What did he just do? The Pharisees, the Sadducees, the elders, they are always sending people to Messiah. Ask him, are you the Messiah? Are you that prophet? And he told them once, and then he wouldn't tell them anymore because they wouldn't believe. He just told this woman that he is the Messiah, the one that they've been waiting for. He called the Gentile woman when she asked for him to bless her and save her daughter. He called her a what? The children's food is not meant for what? The dog? So why would he tell this woman that he's the Messiah? The one that they've been waiting for. I know that when Messiah comes, he will tell us all things. Here I am. This is who I was sent to. I hope we can hear this. Because there's some of us that people don't know that they're us. And people will say they're not us. But Yah knows. That's why he says it's not important in these last days. Only reason that Israel needs to know who Israel is so that Israel can repent of the sins of our forefathers. We are commanded to do that. But here is this Hebrew Israelite woman, and Messiah has come to her to offer her the what? And the people, the living waters. The gospel of the kingdom. Yah says that even today, we got to be willing to drink from those living waters, and we got to be transplanted by that river. Yah is that river of living water. Let's continue. Verse 26 again. Yeshua saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. And upon this came his disciples and marveled. Now they're surprised that he talked with the woman. Yet no man said, what seekest thou? Or why talkest thou with her? They are ignorant to this thing because they don't have anything to do with the Samaritan. They have, the years have gone by and they have forgotten why they don't have anything to do with these people. And the truth of the matter is, some of them are their kin, but they chose to stay in the northern kingdom. So they're treating them like strangers. But Messiah is saying, I must needs go here. I know they acting like a fool, doing sorcery still worshiping up in the high mountains, worshiping false gods. But for this cause came I into the world. Let's continue. Verse 28. The woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city and saith to the men, come, see a man which told me all things that I ever did. Is not this the Christ? Then they went out of the city and came unto him. Let's go to the book of John, chapter 7. Because we got some of our people that don't know who they are. They can't claim to be kings and queens, claim to come from royal lineage, but don't really know that they're the people of the book. And you and I are to offer them that living water. grounded in Yah. This is what we're going to need in these last and terrible days. And anybody that is not grounded in Yah, is not planted by that river, is not counting on that river for sustenance, not counting on Yah for sustenance, they are not going to fare well. You want to live and not have to worry about the heat that's coming? Then hear from the word of Yah. Be like a tree planted by the river of waters. This is what he gave to me. Because people are not counting on him the way that they should. But he says, if you do, then what's coming won't affect you. John chapter 7. Jump down to verse 37. John chapter 7, starting in verse 37. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Yeshua stood up, cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. And he that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this he spake of the Spirit. Again, Yah is reiterating. He wants us to know what beyond a shadow of a doubt, what that living water is. It's his Spirit, as he said in Jeremiah. Be planted by that river. Let your roots grow deep in Yah. Deep in the ground, deep seated in him. And he will water you. He will sustain you. All the stuff that's coming, he's saying, if you are grounded in me, you ain't got to worry about it. Just be faithful. So Messiah says it again to our people who are in Judah. Now, he told the woman at the well, the woman of Samaria, at the well, I shall give you, out of your belly shall flow rivers of what? Living water. I shall give you this water that you won't ever thirst again. He stands up and announces this on the last day of the feast, which would have been Passover feast, the Feast of Weeks. Scratch that. The Feast of Passover, 7 days, not the Feast of Weeks. That'd be Pentecost. Let's continue. The last day of the feast. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given. Because Yeshua was not yet glorified. John told us, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. Then he says, the one I come baptizing with water, but the one that's come after me is greater than me, he shall baptize you with the what? Holy Ghost. That's that river of living waters. So the people, when they heard him talking, they really were in the carnal, and they were thinking that was what? Actual water. But the scriptures tell us the river of living waters that he's talking about is the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit. Yah says, we need this to sustain us. We need this to, so that no harm comes to us. We need this to be sealed in him. We need this for when the angels come to gather. If they're gathering the wicked, they won't gather you. If they're gathering the righteous, they will gather you. They're going to be looking for this Spirit. Go to the book of Zechariah, chapter 4. The book of Zechariah, chapter 4. And we must walk in this. We must believe and walk in this. The book of Zechariah, chapter 4 and verse 6. Then he answered and said unto me, and spake unto me, saying, this is the word of Yah unto Zerubbabel, saying, not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, saith Yah of hosts. As I lay in the bed, and Yah said, be planted by the rivers of living water, and I shall sustain you. No matter how hard it might seem, no matter how wicked the times might be, don't worry about them. Don't fret them. Keep preaching the truth. Tell my people. Give them hope. Understand that it is I that heals them. It is I that keeps them. It is I that sustains them. This is the word of Yah. Play this song for us, because this is just appropriate. And let me find it. Let me get my glasses. I put too many songs in here. Now it's hard for me to find something. All right. Amen. We've heard this song before. I want you to hear it in another light.
not by might, not by power, by your spirit, God. Send your spirit,
All right, amen. Go back to the book of Jeremiah chapter 17. Back to the book of Jeremiah chapter 17. And then let's get verse 7. The book of Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 7. Blessed is the man that trusts in Yah, and whose hope Yah is. Drop down to verse 8. For he shall be as a tree planted by the water, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh, but her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. Drop down to verse 13. O Yah, the hope of Israel, all that forsake thee shall be ashamed, and they that depart from me shall be written in the earth, because they have forsaken Yah, the fountain of living water. Heal me, O Yah, and I shall be healed. Save me, and I shall be saved. My praise. May the Most High bless him to the reading, the hearing, the understanding of his word. I pray that something was said to you today to encourage you to look at and toward Yah. Make sure that you are planted in him. Because when the heat comes, you will not be affected by it. Your leaves won't wither. And you will not stop producing fruit because you have dried up. Our healer, Yah is our provider. Yah is our everything. He says, blessed is he that trusteth in him. Blessed are you if you trust in him. This is the word of Yah to you. Trust in Yah. Plant yourself in him. Make yourself sure so that you know that what is coming will not affect you. Our Elohim is going to take care of us. and we are not to fear. We are not to put our trust in man, but we are to put our trust in Yah in everything. We're not to say it and then go do something else. But we are to wholeheartedly put our trust in him. Let us bow our heads. Before we bow our heads, let us give the Most High a hand clap of praise, because hallelujah, 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 God. Thank you, God. We glorify you. We thank you. We thank you. We thank you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father, for looking out for us. Thank you for being the one who's going to nourish us and keep us. Hallelujah, that we will not wither up and dry up. Hallelujah, as the world is going to wither up and dry up. Hallelujah, God. Thank you, Father, for your word. Thank you for your confidence. Thank you for building us up. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Thank you. I'm so encouraged. I am so blessed that Yah is for us and not against us. I just want to grow roots wide and deep. And I be strong in Yah. Let's bow our heads. Father Yah, you are the great river of life. You created all things for your pleasure. And by you, all things consist. You have said, if we would but just plant ourselves in you, you, that river of living water, you say when time gets up, you will sustain us. You will keep us from withering away. And that when the heat comes, when the trials come, that you will keep us. Father, we just want to give you all the glory, all the honor and all the praise. And we thank you for making a way where there's no way. We thank you for giving us understanding and our mind that we only want to serve you. And we want to be rooted in you. We know that your word is true. We hear and we believe. Father, we want to thank you ahead of time. Ground us and root us in you. Supply all our needs. And we will be so thankful to give you all the glory, the honor, and the praise. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name, I pray. Amen and amen. All right. I don't know what the precept is going to be for tomorrow morning. I need to contact Brother Isaiah and see what, if he's going to be teaching. If not, then I will do as Yah puts it on my heart to do. Tomorrow night, we will be doing Meat That You Know Not Of. What sustained Messiah? What was it that kept him going, that made him stay faithful to the Most High, that made him go to the cross, this meat that he said his disciples knew not of? We're going to get into that on tomorrow evening. On Sunday night, it's the new moon service. So I will send out the notes for that. It will be just like the first one that we did. And we would just come and praise the Most High, give him his honor where he said that he wants us to do in his new moon. With that being said, remember always, I love you, but Yah loves you more. Shalom, family.
Yahuwah, he lives forever. Sing his praise, which dwelleth in Zion. Our Elohim is worth a perfect, and his kingdom will reign forever. You created the world and the universe, and everything that lives and breathes, you made it happen with just words. You have no beginning, and you have no ending. I think it's amazing, it's beyond my understanding. So what can I do if I don't have you? It's all about you, cause without you there's no me. I need a hand, cause I'm just a man. You always said, teach me the way, I pray that I never fall away. Yahuwah, you live forever. Sing his praise, which dwelleth in Zion. Our Elohim is worth a perfect, and his kingdom will reign forever. Sometimes all I wanna do is jump, lift my hand up high and stomp. Clean me with the water, baptized, get dumped. I'm filled with the rock and now I'm drunk. Oh, one time for Shabbat. I'm working every day, can't wait for my rest. Holy days coming and I'm impatient. Hanging with the Mishpacha, good vibrations. So what can I do if I don't have you? It's all about you, cause without you there's no me. I need a hand, cause I'm just a man. Always said, teach me the way, I pray that I never fall away. Yahuwah, you live forever. Sing his praise, which dwelleth in Zion. Our Elohim is worth a perfect, and his kingdom will reign forever. So what can I do if I don't have you? It's all about you, cause without you there's no me. I need a